What's going on, guys? You guys are listening to the You Can Miss Me With That podcast. My name is Luther Okeo, and you guys know the spiel by now. I know what you're thinking, though. Another bonus pod? Yes, because just things in my life right now with my work and things like that are really picking up, so I don't really have the amount of time necessary, I feel, to give you guys a very good pod episode right now, especially with what I'm going to cover next. So I just wanted to kind of do another bonus pod about things that I've been just kind of doing in my life, especially right now. I've been running through documentaries like a madman, especially the last week. I think I've gone through 6 or 7, and for the rest of the week, I'm going to be recommending some documentaries I think you guys should kind of check out and see if you can. Technically, this is the second time me doing an episode like this. I did a whole other episode yesterday where I did one on Studio 54. But then I watched this documentary called Alt-Right, Age of Rage, which technically documents like kind of the battle between the alt-right and Antifa, which I didn't even know what that meant. You always heard it, but I never knew what it meant. And it means anti-fascist. Basically, between two people, Daryl Lamont Jenkins and Richard Spencer. And I never knew who Daryl Lamont Jenkins was. And he's part of the Antifa. And obviously, Richard Spencer, I know of him because of some of his speeches, especially the first time I ever heard about him was on the Philip DeFranco show. So shout out, even though I know he's never going to listen to this. And kind of their, kind of the leading up to the events of Charlottesville. They've also sprinkled in some other people on both sides, like Jared Taylor, who runs this thing called the American Renaissance, which kind of it's a white supremacist website and news organization, which kind of like tries to prove scientifically why white people are superior to everybody, except for technically they admit that Asians are smarter than white people in math, but white people are still superior in every other quality, which makes no sense to me. But he tries to approach it very technologically and scientific. How the documentary really is presented, it's odd. I think you kind of see it very quickly. It's presented from a neutral point of view, but it's also more left leading from the director. But I think, to me, it does a really good job of documenting both sides, especially seeing how both sides obviously are not really willing to back down, and even get into a couple situations where they're obviously fisticuffs and things like that, and all roads lead to Charlottesville. And for those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while, Charlottesville was basically what started this podcast, everything that happened there. And like a lot of people, I only saw what happened in Charlottesville from the news, you know, and you heard about the lady dying. I'm sorry, I cannot remember her name right now. You saw that dude who just ran his Challenger, which is a great car, and just ran into a crowd full of people to kill people. What, and sit there in such a waste. And the documentary, he's in it. He's fully in Charlottesville. There are fights everywhere. How the cops and the police really let people fight for over 2 hours before they stepped in, and how independent people who reviewed how Charlottesville handled the whole crisis was like they were reprimanded. They were besmirched and all that stuff because they had a very poor response to all that. And just seeing all these people come out, like even one part where there's this white dude, older, probably in his 40s, 50s, middle-aged, shaved head, and he walks up to a group of black people, and he's like, "You guys dance like this," and he's trying to like pop it real quick, but obviously it's terrible because, you know, the dude's not trying to do it well. And then he's like, "You guys do it, it's terrible," and then he like cusses at them. Of course they cuss back at him, and it's just all these, just this huge powder keg of stuff. And it really hit me because I wish I knew all this stuff too, maybe, especially now. And I felt really like bad for just kind of looking at it from the outside like I did. But ultimately, like I say before, Charlottesville basically started my podcast. It started me thinking about the best way to kind of sit. And it's an amazing documentary that I think, you know, I think obviously no matter what you believe, and I sit here as a dude, I'm like, how could you spend so much time hating somebody that much just because of their skin color. When I think, obviously, with guys like Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor, they're threatened because they've been on top for so long that they can't even, at least the way it looks like to me, they can't even accept that, you know, there's even equal. Nobody's saying that white people should be on the bottom. Maybe there are people saying that. I don't know. I don't think I really got that from the documentary. All it is trying to be equal. It's trying to look at people like human beings. And I mean, Richard, when you see Richard and Daryl communicate, they know of each other because they met before. But Richard is like, I like being around beautiful people. And then every time he sees Daryl, because Daryl is very heavy set and things like that, he always like, I'm surprised you keep showing up here because I thought you'd die from your obesity and things like that. And Daryl is a very intense dude. He's obviously an older dude. He's from the punk rock scene. He actually used to do like some small cable access shows and call it Channel X. Actually kind of like cool when you look at him. But he just sat back and he says, I'm not going to take it. We're going to fight back. And he's one of the guys who started, I guess, they call it doxing, where they dox people and give out personal information so that people on whatever side would attack each other. And he's a guy who starts outing these alt-right people, white supremacists, even. But it's kind of the same thing on both sides. The one thing I really took away from the documentary is that people on both sides, both Antifa and alt-right, don't want to be out there. They don't want to be you know, named and stuff. They kind of want to work from the shadows, especially when you see when the documentary follows the Ghost on American Renaissance Convention, and you see all these blurred faces, obviously except for some of the people who, I guess, who agree to be on the documentary, who don't care. But the one thing that really stood out to me was Jared Taylor gets up, Richard Spencer's there, he's supposed to speak, and they're kind of they kind of have two different ideologies, especially in the, since they're both alt-right. Like Richard describes Jared Taylor as a more realistic person, where Jared's very like, we're being marginalized, we're seeing this, he's very realistic. And Richard, by his own words, says, I try to make a more fantasy magical approach to the alt-right, trying to make people more galvanized, where he even says it, we will not back down, especially after Charlottesville, when he was forced to run away, especially because people started shooting and things like that. You even see on the documentary an alt-right person who's on the side of alt-right, literally pull out his gun and point and shoot at somebody. We don't know if he got hit or anything like that, but you literally see that. And then, of course, they have to, like, rush Richard Spencer out of it. They actually do drills on the documentary just in case things pop off. And they put, like, Richard Spencer, like, he's the president in, like, some, look like just an Escalade, but probably bulletproof or whatever. And they practice that because Richard Spencer is so volatile. And the documentary, after watching it, and why it was important to me and why I think you guys should really watch it and just trying to make your own conclusions, for me, left me with a few questions. Like, it's crazy that, to me, one question was that, why do you think that, just especially with Daryl, which one thing I really do not agree with him is that, why do, even though he says that he does not initiate violence, why do you think that violence will solve the answer? And actually, they actually talked to a few other people on both sides, especially one alt-right guy, is like, he's firmly convinced that violence is the quickest way to solve a problem. It's the most effective. But I sit there and I'm thinking, if I fight you and anything happens, you've seen that all through history. How many times have we seen somebody come in, wipe out or fight or cause incredible damage to one culture, and then that culture resents, and then later they come back? Like, one example that always sticks out in my mind is, I know it's going to be, I guess, weird or anything like that, I always go back because I really like 300. So when Persia, and we're talking BC, all that stuff, when Persia tried to invade Greece, and then they were defeated at Marathon by the Athenians, and then actually the dude who ran from Marathon to report the battle to Athens actually ran the actual, was it 26.5 miles, and then he delivered the news, and then he died, and that's where they came up with the concept of the marathon. So fun fact for you guys about that, if you guys didn't know that. But after the Persians were defeated at Marathon and Darius, the king of Persia, was killed, his son Xerxes was there. And every freaking day when he's eating dinner, there'd always be a person telling Xerxes, don't forget what the Athenians did. Every day they tell Xerxes, I don't forget what the Athenians did, until Xerxes came back later and burned down Athens, even though the Spartans held up at Thermopylae with 300 Spartans. And we all know that kind of story. They made it into a movie, at least a really nice movie that I liked. But they ended up burning down Athens. And then it's just one of those things where you go back and forth. Then after that, Alexander the Great comes back and takes over Persia. So it's one of those, it's just like a seesaw back and forth. And I sat there and I'm like, that to me does not solve it. All you do is create more hate. Because you saw that. I mean, you'd see people fighting and then more and more people would jump in. That doesn't solve the problem. And it's such a, at least to me, it's a shame that, I guess maybe with how far the ideologies are, with how dug in people are, that they can't, obviously, I think I'm being very naive about this. I think they can't just sit down and talk to each other. Is there no way to, for a guy like Richard Spencer or Jared Taylor to see that, at least to me, it just seems really stupid that you believe that biologically or whatever, that you're just that superior. Okay, like I love my Goonies, but in no way do I feel like I'm superior to them genetically or biologically or whatever. It just seems stupid. Like it just seems that way to me. How could you spend so much time trying to prove that? Just so what, you feel good because for the longest time you've been on top, and mind you, you recorded your sins yourself, how you treated easily, how. In a lot of ways, America was built on the backs of black people. I mean, hell, they even use that thing in the South now where they say the Civil War wasn't fought on the basis of slavery. The Confederacy could literally not survive without slaves. They could not. When you look at the kind of the stats, obviously the Confederacy had less population than the North and all that. And Lincoln only really banned slavery so that he could cause unrest in the South and also help him with the election, his second term. He didn't do it out of the goodness of his heart, as much as people would want to say. My mind, I'm only going just base on here. I'm not diving deep in the minutia and anything like that. And what this documentary really, like I said, the first question is that, why can't they just sit down and talk to each other? Why was violence the answer? Okay. Was there any way Charlottesville could have been avoided? Or did we just have to literally sit there and watch white dudes walk through that university with tiki torches screaming, you will not replace us? And I'm sitting there, in what way are you being replaced? Maybe I'm not seeing something here. But even that way, I'm like, it's life, man. I mean, life evolves. You can't... I just sit there, I'm like, are you really that scared of evolving yourself? Are you really that scared of accepting someone? I mean, this is the kind of questions I ask myself when like people freak out about a black James Bond or that weird thing where they wanted to cast Michael B. Jordan as black. And then people are like, well, that means we can make Black Panther white. And I'm sitting there like, these are all fictional characters. Mind you, would it be weird to see a white Black Panther? I mean, if it's a good actor, same reason. I get it, because comic book stuff, and then there's a precedent and things like that. But Superman's from a completely different world. Superman could have came in, the person could have drawn Superman black. But obviously, Superman wouldn't, especially at the time, Superman would not have been a popular character. I don't think a lot of people would have accepted the strongest person, at least in comic books at the time. You can argue that. I don't care. It's a comic book character. He's from outer space. He could have been drawn green like the Hulk or purple like, I don't know, anything. But to see people that scared to lose whatever standing in quotations they think they have in society, to think that that the only reason I get to where I'm at is because I'm helped with affirmative action instead of me being on my merits. But they also have to understand the only reason affirmative action was put in place was because of the same policies to keep black people down. to not help, to not put black people up, to mix. I feel like as more people go up, as more culture, that should make society better, not tumble us into now and then tumble us into like whatever this chaos is now. And documentary, really, it's like you see how these people think. Like, I only knew Richard Spencer by reputation, like the little reputation I know from the YouTube show that I watch. It's not like I go out of my way. And you learn a lot about him, like through this document. You learn a lot about Daryl Lamont Jenkins, who I never knew, or Jared Taylor. I never heard of American Renaissance until I read all this. So I'm literally sitting here looking at Richard Spencer's freaking Wikipedia page. I know it's Wikipedia. I'm doing the same thing with Daryl Lamont. Like, I'm reading through all this. But even Daryl Lamont, to be so far left. I don't even know if a far left exists, even though there are people who feel that there is no far left. Maybe earlier in the 60s and things like that, where people were trying to get equality by any means necessary, there was a far left. But now to see the transition, now it's like the pendulum's all the way swung to the alt-right, which is far right. But Daryl Lamont Jenkins, he's best kind of known for founding this thing called the One People Project, which is based in Philly, but it's also been linked to acts of domestic terrorism by the FBI. I mean, to see that he was also on MSNBC or something like that. He would act as a commentator on there. And the One People's Project, its literal goal is to monitor and publish information. So basically, their goal is to just dox people who are on the alt-right. Because, you know, I think to be a member of the alt-right, at least the way the documentary presented it to me, like, people are kind of like, they want to keep that under wraps. You know, they want to be able to go back to their job and pretend to be somebody who's all-inclusive or anything like that. And then have nobody know what they do behind closed doors. I mean, you saw that too. I think there was this popular Twitter page called "Yes, You're Racist," which started up right after Charlottesville. And this guy would out people, like taking from the pictures that were taken of the event. Like, even at one point when you saw those guys walking through the university, and then they go to the statue, which I believe was getting taken down the next day. In Charlottesville, and then there's this little small group of anti-protesters against the protesters there, and they surround them. You know, you see hundreds of white dudes surrounding this little group, and of course fighting breaks out, and the documentary is there. The best part about this documentary is that it puts you in all these places, and even showing like the American Renaissance and how strong it's been for decades, and then seeing how organizations like the One People's Project, OPP, have made it very hard for them to organize. So like, they used to actually just meet, you know, in hotels, like, you know, regular conferences. And then all these hotels under pressure from obviously organizations like OPP cancel their contracts on American Renaissance. So it's been actually very hard for them to meet. They usually have a conference once a year, and they had to skip for a couple of years. So now all they do is meet on public land, on federal land. So like national parks and things like that. So they had actually a moment like that where Jared Taylor comes out right before the conference starts. And obviously Daryl Lamont is there. Richard Spencer. It's kind of like this weird grouping of the three main people that come together. Like the three main people they really focus on coming together. There, this mishmash, and of course Daryl Lamont is outside protesting the group, and the federal rangers, the park rangers, are like, they warn Jared Taylor and the people of American Renaissance, like, look, we cannot, like, we strongly urge you to leave, because things could pop off and we can't really do anything until that point happens, you know. But Jared and his people, if you want to give them credit for something, they're very steadfast and they stay there. And Jared warns them right there. He's like, hey, do not do anything. Do not mess with those knuckleheads outside. Mind you, I'm just paraphrasing what he says. But of course, there's one person who just loses it. And then they start fighting right outside. And of course, they both get arrested. And they showed the dude who attacked. Ironically, it was two white dudes who were fighting. And the older dude was with the alt-right. And the younger dude was with the Antifa. And the young dude gave the old dude all that work. And just to see, and of course Jerry Taylor admonishes the people, the crowd, the American Renaissance people who are there. And the craziest part is right after he does that, he asks how many new people, and like the whole room raises their hands. There are over 200 people there. Mind you, was it the whole room? Maybe not, but it was a significant amount of people raising their hands, you know, who have never been to a conference like that. And now the craziest part is, ever since I watched it, I'm on social media and I'm seeing all these things about all these young people, even younger than me, you know, high schoolers, things like that, who are, you know, believe that way. That's to me is the most worrying part, is that in a lot of ways, as you grow up, you kind of take on the identity of your parents, you know. You start to believe what they believe, and maybe later you start forming your own identity. Like Daryl shows this, where he was actually going to go destroy some memorabilia that was given to him by a guy who used to be alt-right, and gave him all this memorabilia, the American Renaissance books, Confederate flag, swastika flag, you know, the Nazi flag, all this stuff that he was going to go destroy. And he says, every now and then I get somebody like that. And the kind of the story is like, oh, you know, I grew up this way. I didn't really make a choice, you know. So when I see that, maybe I could just be completely, that's what they actually believe. But I mean, I was that way. I feel like if you're listening, you're kind of that way. You take on the beliefs of your parents until, you know, you kind of get old enough, whatever, to think for yourself. Maybe you're like, you know what? I know that's how they felt, but that's not how I feel. In a lot of ways, obviously it's not just this. It could be your sports team. It could be how you know, do stuff, like how you clean your house, things like that, that you kind of see until you kind of, you know, kind of form your own perspective or opinion. So that's what hurts me with those, and seeing all those young people and things like that. But then also the documentary raises a really critical question. Would what the Antifa is doing to the alt-right, especially people like the American Renaissance, they're limiting their free speech. Whether the left or the right want to admit it or not, free speech is a big part of America. They even talked to a six, I believe. I don't know if I'm saying it right. A lot of people confuse them with Muslims when they're really not. And you see this kind of like back and forth where Daryl is like, I'm going to expose him. I'm going to attack him. We're not going to give up. But the six guy, he says that you need to give them the free speech so that we know, so that we can argue with them, so that we can converse with them. And I sit there, I'm like, yeah, because the minute you try and limit somebody, no matter what you're doing, you tell me, like me, or even you, whoever's listening to this, you were ever somewhere and then somebody just tells you in a very standoffish way not to do something. Of course, maybe you listen, maybe you don't. But in your mind, you're like, you know, you put that stank face on your face and you're like, no, you know, it's just from the way you do that. Who are you to tell me what to do? You know, I mean, people do that with powerful people all the time, from the president to, you know, when you get stopped by a cop, you just don't like the way you're doing it to it, for the way you speak to your server, or the way maybe you speak to the server, and the server speaks back to you. And, you know, now you got this weird whatever tension that you got. I mean, it happens all the time. So that's kind of my one thing with it's like this weird thing where you obviously don't want to give publicity to it, but you can't do that. And that was one of the things when you saw Alex Jones get deplatformed, where you cannot find him on any social media now. Like, I'm talking Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. He got deplatformed, and the only place you can find his stuff is on his own website, like InfoWars or whatever it is, except for I think he came back and spoke to Joe Rogan on his podcast recently, but they had some beef or something like that. I haven't watched it yet, but it's just, you know, things like that. I mean, the same reason why organizations like the Westboro Baptist Church can go to soldiers' funerals or high school graduations and raise signs and say the stuff that they do, is the same reason why you have people on the left who can go and protest at Trump rallies and things like that to protest equality. So the right really harps on that, saying that you can't take our free speech away. And in a lot of terms, I think they're right, because it's what America was founded on. But it's a double-edged sword too, you know. If you let people speak what they speak, you know, what if some person identifies with them, you know? And they even talk about guys like Dylann Roof, who walked into that church and tried to and killed all those black people at church and tried to start like a race war. And even Richard Spencer completely decries that, because that's not, according to Richard, that's not what he stands for. That's a guy who just took the message and didn't even really think about it. He just acted. You know, and even Dylann Spencer, both of them, even more Jerry Taylor than Richard Spencer. I don't know why I'm calling Dylann Spencer. Like, they both distance themselves from that. Till you go see Charlottesville, and Jerry Taylor had a huge problem with that, especially after, mind you, Jerry Taylor agreed with what the alt-right was trying to protect Confederate statues. You know, trying to protect that history, no matter whatever you think of that history, he's trying to protect it because that's what they want to fight for. But he was like, what did Charlottesville accomplish other than doing the complete opposite of what the alt-right came to Charlottesville to do? You had that guy take that challenger, driving that group of people, kill a white woman, ironically, you know, and prayers up to her family, because, you know, everybody was doing at Charlottesville was standing up for what they believe. But somebody had to die, and the person was right there. You see the documentary, the filmmaker is right there watching that car barrel into all those people. Like, right there, and he's sitting there, he's screaming. There could be multiple fatalities. A lot of people are injured, fighting all over the place. Meanwhile, the cops are nowhere to be found. And Jerry Taylor says this: all that did was harm the alt-right movement even more. Because you saw it everywhere. The New Orleans, the statue of New Orleans got taken down. All these Confederate memorabilia, it made it, all this stuff got taken down. Mind you, are they being destroyed? I believe a lot of them are being put in museums. Which, I mean, you know, it's the South. The Confederate, like, heritage is very strong there. So I guess it makes sense to put them in a museum. But to take them out of the public eye like that. And Jerry Taylor's like, that accomplished nothing. And I know I keep mentioning the right a lot because, and especially at that point, that's what they focus on, you know. You see Daryl getting, you know, he's right in the thick of things in Charlottesville. He gets hit with some mace, some pepper spray and stuff. And he's kind of taken out of the fight because he can't see, can't even hear. His whole face is on fire. And he has like somebody pouring water on him and all this and that, trying to take care of him, you know. Richard is nowhere to be freaking seen. He's taken out, but he shows some of his video where when the cops finally step in and he's trying to like kind of be peaceful. He's like, sir, I'm not doing anything. But of course, at this point, the cops are not dealing with anything. They've just watched Charlottesville basically just become a battleground. So of course, he gets I believe he gets his phone knocked down. I think he gets some pepper spray in his thing. But of course, they just put him in the car and he takes off and he makes this video like, oh, we are not backing down. We're going to come back. And which they actually do. They do kind of an unannounced protest where they basically do the same thing. They take tiki torches and they go to the middle of Charlottesville and, you know, they scream the same stuff they screamed the night before Charlottesville, the actual craziness in Charlottesville happens. You will not replace us, this and that. And they have a actual cameraman with them, which they actually use that footage for the documentary. And people ask him, like, what are you guys doing? He's like, oh, we're just peacefully walking. Like, they wouldn't even, it's kind of like that thing where it's kind of deceitful until they get to where they're going to organize. Then they start their protest there in the middle of the night again. So it's crazy that you really get this inside look about everything that happened in Charlottesville. And I know it was far away. Technically, what, almost 2 years? But I mean, it's something that I definitely recommend that you guys watch. I mean, it's given like 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, like just looking. And it's something that after this, I'm going to watch again. Because, oh my goodness, it's crazy that, you know, all this could happen, that people could hate each other so much. And how people really stand up for their beliefs. And it really thinks it, like, it, you can say you believe in equality, and in some ways the documentary really challenges you to see how much are you willing to do for that. Are you willing at some points to go to, like, take off work and go down to Charlottesville or someplace like that and literally fight for what you believe in? Not just to be cool or whatever, to impress somebody, to literally fight for what you believe in. And even at one point, they interview a bystander who says, that's crazy, you know? He's like, my grandfather fought in Vietnam. And the way I've seen, and he's never seen, and to hear the stories about his grandfather, he's like, and this guy's an older dude himself who's seen war. And to see that, he's like, I have never seen such disorganized chaos and just law enforcement letting it go for hours. He's never seen that. And his grandfather's in Vietnam with, and you just see how he describes it, you know. Even another bystander who's like, it's crazy that, and he's obviously, he was a black man, middle-aged black man. He's like, it's crazy that they preach that they're religious, but they attack people and speak to people that way, you know. In a lot of ways, that's true, I mean, with religion and things like that. But man, oh, there's just so many questions that it answers or it asks you. It makes you ask yourself, you know. And this is something I really do recommend that you watch. Maybe watch it even twice. You know, it's just something that makes you think about how much are you really willing to do for yourself, or how much are you willing to stand for yourself. And also, it's like you get to see this hidden side of everything that happened in Charlottesville, because everybody saw the car driving to the people on CNN or Fox News, wherever the hell you watch the stuff on, you know. But then to see it right there, you know, to see the literal cameraman running away as the car speeds towards the people, then running back, to see literal unknown incidents that you don't see, like the guy shooting the gun. Like, you see that, you only heard about it in the thing, but you see that. To see the cops like literally just stand there as the filmmakers asking them, like the director, all that, is like, why aren't you guys doing anything? You can literally see all these fights and they're just standing there. They don't answer, they don't say anything, but they're just standing there as all this chaos is happening. But then you sit there, like, maybe I sat there, and at the end, and I just said, wow. And once again, maybe I feel like this a lot, especially with things I don't really know about that, you know, really affect all of us. Because in a way, Charlottesville affected all of us, you know. To see that hate is that strong in this country. Over something, to me, I'm just like, to me, it seems like a huge waste of time. Like, what do you prove? You know, the alt-right, your message is completely lost. Mind you, it's very racist, but your message is complete. All anybody's going to do, even if you had somebody kind of on the fence about joining the alt-right, all they see is that person driving that car into that group of people, and then the person that they killed was a white woman. And that, you're vilified now. You can say the message, you could lie and say that the message is not about that, but that's what that person believed. That's what that person in your, and even Richard Spencer can decry that dude, but that dude came there. You know, he was in the rally that you were at, that you were telling people this is going to be a great day. That's part of your side. And Jared Taylor is right. Whatever mess you're trying to do, whatever stance you're trying to see, so you can at least make yourself seem like you're more professional, you're more subdued, whatever you're trying to do, you did more to harm than you did. And for that point, that's very good. The history you fought to protect, you destroyed it. But there, and they also, you know, they show Trump's response to that, you know, when he blamed both sides, when the most obvious thing when you say that is just that in actual way he's right, because everybody was fighting, except, you know, everybody was fighting on both sides. Maybe Daryl Lamont or Richard Spencer weren't exactly fighting, but both sides were fighting. So in a way, he's right, but he's also wrong, because one side killed somebody, and good Lord, he could have killed more people. You know, we also lost law enforcement in a helicopter crash. So there were fatalities to this. One person, one side was willing to cross that line. You know, you see people on the right say, I'm ready to start the race war right here and now. Maybe it was all bluster, you know, that they felt that way. Maybe that's how they felt. Maybe they're trying to like puff their chests out. But I just sat there. I said, wow, I was ashamed. And, you know, it made me question, how much am I really willing to see? Like, of course, I believe everybody should be equal. I mean, why? At least maybe in standing as human beings. I mean, you go through life not being equal. Obviously, I'm not Wesley Snipes, or because I only say Wesley Snipes because I'm compared to him a lot. But I don't have the same acting talent as Wesley Snipes. But you should be able at least on, if everything is equal, all the conditions are right and all that, that we are equal. There should be like, you know, like that one weird myth for a while where they said black people had like an extra muscle in their leg, that's why they ran faster, whatever excuse, like, you know, those little things that I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it's just those little things like that. And to see just that much hate, and I sit there like, for what? That doesn't help the family of the lady that was killed. If you're on the right, that doesn't help your message. You lost. You completely lost, especially in the court of public opinion. And where even people on both sides of the aisle coming out and completely decrying it, because the president would not. Because that is his base. That is what got him elected. That is why Richard Spencer can go to do an event and say Hail Victory, which is just Sig Hail in English. That's why he can do those things. And saying Hail President Trump. The one thing I say about having Trump be president that I like is that at least I know who's 100 now, who feels that type of way. So, you know, you don't associate with them anymore. People are more emboldened to come out, you know, and say, oh, I believe this. I believe that I am completely superior to you because of the color of your skin. And then you suffer the consequences. Because to me, that is such a ridiculous notion. I mean, you even see Richard Spencer at one point argue with I believe it was a CNN journalist who was maybe he was CNN, maybe he wasn't, but he was a black man. He was obviously from outside the country. It looked like he had an English accent. And he's saying that obviously black people here have been in better condition than in Africa. And in a lot of ways, he's right. But then, you know, the guy says, so you believe slavery was good for black people? And he's like, of course. And I'm like, how could you say that? And the guy even says that is an utterly ridiculous notion to say that it was good that Richard Spencer could own me, could tell me what I could do, to tell me how I could eat, to tell me how long I had to work, to tell me who I could breed with, because that's all I was to him. I was never a human being. And the fact that Richard Spencer's like, I don't want the country to come back, because at this rate we're so fractured. And he's like, we'd rather just have a state where America breaks up and then white people just own a part of the country. Even Jerry Taylor says, I'm perfectly fine with just splitting America down the middle. And he says, you guys pick whatever side you want and white people will go to the other side. How crazy is that? I feel like I could sit down with both of them and have them explain it to me, and I still wouldn't get it. I'm not editing this podcast, by the way. I want everything live and unfiltered for you guys. Because the weirdest part is, there are people in my life that I know think this way. I could call them out on it if I want, but they'll deny it. But you see what they post low-key on Facebook and things like that. I've seen how they've talked to people, how they talk to me sometimes. And mind you, do I associate with these people every day? Absolutely not, because that's a waste of my time. That's a waste of their energy to just hate me that much, to feel that way about me, while I'm like, you know what, screw it, I'm just gonna keep doing me, I'm gonna keep achieving what I want to achieve, I'm gonna keep going after my goals, while you sit there and say the only reason I achieve my goals is because of affirmative action or anything like that, when you know nothing about my life or nothing about any black person's life. No, you don't know anything about even a person who believes that we should be equal. You just automatically just take that stance when you know nothing, not realizing how much work somebody like me puts in, or somebody like, I don't know, I could even use like a Beyonce, or even somebody even less popular, like a Jemele Hill, and all the crap she's getting, or she continues to get, and the crap she's gotten before this. To just immediately take that sense, completely discredit everything that a person does just because, oh, you're black, so I'm more automatically better than you. You know? And obviously, it's not just being skin color. It could just be like when Kylie Jenner said she was a self-made billionaire. And I'm just like, are you really? Like, because you're not, you know. You're not. You had a huge platform to start off with. Sure, you ended up making your own money after that. But still, it's not like you did not have a head start. Well, whatever. Does it really matter that she's a self-made? Does it really matter that much? I mean, to other people, it didn't mean me. But I'm sitting, were you really self-made? And I know I'm kind of going off tangent here, but that's just... it's a shame that people had to get hurt. Somebody had to die. And obviously, there's been crazy things after that. There have been more massacres. There have been school shootings. There have been all this. There have been all that. And all of it just seems like such a waste. But it's also a shame that it feels like you can't just sit down. Like a Daryl Lamont and a Richard Spencer and a Jared Taylor and whatever people you want to say, they can't just sit down and come to something. Because they're both dug in on whatever they believe. So it seems like a huge waste of time for them to sit down and talk to each other. Without, you know, bringing, not believing what they believe, and there's no consensus. And in this case, it really shouldn't be, you know, but there should never be that, whatever that feeling is, that whenever my son and a John from, I don't know, let's go Ward Parkway, because I always use Ward Parkway as a thing, John from Ward Parkway, if everything's equal, you know, we both have the same job, we both make the same money, we drive the same cars, you say whatever you want to say equal is outside of that, that my child and his child, somehow his child has a better lease on life than my child. You know? And just because maybe that's how, you know, we've been raised for a long time, maybe that's just what it is, but we've seen that before. You know, on all walks of, you know, all walks of life and all aspects of life. Like Bleacher Report did this thing during Black History Month where they talked about obviously athletes and racial things like that and what they've noticed, even the way the media covers it. So they used this one line, always stuck out to me, where you see both Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady freaking out. Maybe some bad play, you know, Tom Brady's cussing out his teammates, you know, Odell's doing cussing out, maybe he's, oh, they're, no, they're both basically cussing out their teammates, but somehow Tom Brady's called fiery and passionate, but Odell's called a distraction and disruptive. And I mean, I'll tell you this, I love Tom Brady, he's my favorite, he's my favorite, you know, player to ever watch. He's the reason I got into football. You know, everybody has that player or whatever, but they're right about that. When they're both doing the same thing, I get it, they're different positions, but then it could have been, let's use Lamar, if Lamar Jackson's doing the same thing, would it be that way? You know? And they, I know I'm just using those two as a thing, but that's the kind of thing, like, to start even to use something that kind of, that small. You know, that weird thing where, you know, hey, Tom Brady's passionate, but Odell's disruptive. To have a negative connotation to basically the same thing. To see even how people are characterizing to me, like I actually, one of my friends on Facebook shared a photo where it's in the same newspaper, where it's like teen white kid who was charged with murder after stabbing and killing a 14-year-old black kid, But then I couldn't really read the rest of the headline, but it was like thug and the dude was black. To have even those little words like that, to keep putting us down like that, you know? Like all those little things, you could see that's what they're fighting. Those are part of the battle lines of weapons or whatever that the alt-right thing is showing, even though they're clearly showing a timeline to Charlottesville. Those are the little things that, that each side is fighting for or against. I really thought this was going to be a short podcast, but I guess not. I think I've done enough that you guys should at least, if you're very interested, if you're curious like I am, just give it a chance as my iPad keeps bugging out and stuff and saying stuff. You know, guys, just check it out. I need a break from this. Every time I do something like this, I just need a break. I'm going to go watch Abducted in Plain Sight next, because I've just been avoiding that because listen to what other people have talked about. I've seen the memes and all that. I'm probably going to watch that next. I got to keep keeping up with this NFL free agency stuff. I know, weird departure, Antonio Brown. Jesus, did the Raiders fleece the Steelers though, right? To get one of the best receivers in the game for like a third and a fifth. And then the Raiders can't, they have like cash flow issues, so they don't even know if they can pay any more people. That's a $1 billion franchise. How do you not have any money, right? But I'm gonna veer off track. Either way, guys, check out the documentary. Remember, the name of the documentary is Alt-Right, Age of Rage. It actually won an award on the South by Southwest thing, like 2018 Film Festival. It came out then. 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, even though it has a lower rating, I think 42% by the audience score. But I really enjoyed the documentary. And if you're any kind of curious, if you just kind of see how why people think the way they think, why this kind of thing is so important, how Charlottesville got so deep, and you get a really inside look into that whole situation, really check it out. Also, tell me what you think of the documentary, if you have seen it or you are going to see it. You know, if there are any other documentaries that you want me to see, just let me know by sending me a tweet at YCMWT or liking or commenting on the post at on Facebook at YCMWT. Don't forget to follow the podcast and like the Facebook page at YCMWT. It's that easy, you know. Also, you can also call and text the podcast at 805-53-YCMWT or 805-39-2698. I got it. Yes, I kind of know it now. You know, just let me know, and I'd love to engage in any dialogue about this, especially with something like this, because this is going to keep affecting us for, I don't know, as long as I remember. Maybe my great grandkids will finally see some kind of thing where this is not a problem. Because the people who say that race is kind of died down or they don't see race, you're lying to yourself. The same people who say they don't see race are also the same people who clutch their purse if they're white or something, or who act a little more guarded when they walk past me at night because I'm wearing a hoodie, you know, or a jacket or whatever. It doesn't even have to be that. When I go to Westport or Power and Light, people do that then, and there's plenty of people around. You know, I get it. Maybe we're on like a street and there's nobody there, but I see that now when I go to places like that, like Power and Light and Westport, and those places where bars and clubs and all that stuff. I see people guard themselves there around me there. And I'm like, what do I need to get from you? Maybe they could have had a bad experience. Maybe somebody did try to run whatever, but to just be that ignorant, you know, to just believe that about just a certain group of people is stupid. And at least to me, it's like, are you to just group that a whole group of people like that is wrong. But I'm not going to get started again. Either way, guys, you know, do all that. Like the Facebook page, call the podcast. Follow me on Twitter or follow the podcast on Twitter. I don't actually have my own Twitter. So either way, guys, check please. That was kind of like a little mini review and think discussion on Alt-Right Age of Rage. You can find it on Netflix. I think it might be on Hulu and whatever other streaming service you have. Check it out. It's a really cool documentary, I think, you know, that technically, no matter what you believe, you should just kind of see. So stay safe out there. I love you guys. I'll be able to bring the full podcast next week. And I know I get in trouble for, you know, winding down too long, but the next episode will be on video games and microtransactions and things like that. And kind of a disturbing trend, especially people who, if you sit there and think, why should I care about it? It really affects you too. And especially if you're a parent and your kid plays a lot of video games, things like that, and there are plenty of horror stories and things like that, that it's, if anything, I'm kind of trying to warn you, but I'm also trying to let you know of a really bad trend in video games right now. Because me, I'm a huge gamer, and you know, you should just, this is something that I think everybody should know, especially if somebody you know, or somebody that plays, or somebody close to you plays video games or anything like that. Just something to just think about and have a conversation about. Either way, guys, stay safe out there. Bye.